the Sunday school, Dr. Belcher will be with us in 9:30 hour. So teens will be in here. All the classes will be in here for Sunday school on Sunday. And also the grades 1 through 6, just because of all the logistics, they get to have their class kind of a special rally time they're going to do in the new cafeteria over here by the gym. They will actually be in the new building this on Sunday morning. That way the chairs are already there to get ready so we can double use the chairs for that. And the luncheon that comes after the ribbon cutting. So anyway, so you parents with the little ones, grades 1 through 6, they will be over in. And of course, ushers should know where they're to kind of lead them in the right direction too. I know they appreciate that. All righty, anybody need a worksheet, didn't get a worksheet? Lift your hand up. Anyone down front here? Anybody else? All righty, Luke chapter 6, if you will, please. Didn't get real far last week because I had used that Matthew 10 scripture, and I wanted to walk through that, and he gave us what we needed there. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 20. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 20. Once again, we're saying there's some things here in Luke that was not included in Matthew and Mark. There's a lot of things included in John. It's a whole different ball game. They call Matthew, Mark, and Luke the synoptic gospels. In other words, they're similar and a lot of the same things. But John has a kind of a different approach to it. We'll get to that down the road here a ways. But Luke, showing Jesus Christ as the Son of Man, but Spirit-filled. But that's a little different. That's not really what we're covering here today. Luke chapter 6, verse 20 says, "And he, Jesus, lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich now," you can put in there, "for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Now, he's not saying it's bad to be rich. He's not saying it's bad to laugh. That's not what he's saying. You put it all in context, he's basically saying, you folks who are living for those things, living for those things to the point where you don't really care what God thinks, to the point where you're not really... You don't live in fear of God. You don't live in reverence to God. You'd rather live for the laughter. You live for the things. You live for the here and now. He says, "Well, you got what you were looking for. But he that will lose his life shall find it. He that finds his life shall lose it. But he that loses his life for my sake," he says, "shall find it." So you've got to put it in perspective. Let's pray. And we're going to do a part two of what I call the anti-beatitudes. And we're going to try to move fast here this evening. Lord, again, we pray for your blessings. We pray for the way you speak to us. And we pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit will move and help us understand these things. Lord, often in your word, there seems to be contradictions. But, Lord, it's often because the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. What looks to be up is actually down. What looks to be down is actually up. Because the just are to live by faith. If it made sense, it wouldn't take faith. You want us to trust you. And Lord, you set up a, you've got the world all working and so forth, but Lord, you can supersede the world and all the rules of nature. And Lord, what we think is just the way it has to happen, Lord, we know that you often go in contrary to those things. And so Lord, also our desires are often the wrong desires, and we desire the things of this world. Lord, when your son told the disciples he was going to Jerusalem to be crucified, Peter said, "Oh, we wouldn't let it." And he said, Oh, Peter, Satan, get behind me. You savor the things of this world, not the things of heaven, of above. And Lord, sometimes we get our eyes on the wrong thing. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts here this evening. We thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Don't want to go through the whole introduction that I did last time, but often there's things that God asks us to do that makes no sense. He says we're, you know, he's going to provide our needs, and he asks for us to give 10% back. Basically up is down and down is up. And that, it seems very, very, very confusing. And the last passage I came with last week in Matthew 16:24 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. You're trying to save this life, you're going to lose what you're really looking for. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? One thing is eternal, and other things are not. The things of this world are temporal. The things of this world, of our soul is eternal. So in order to live by the Beatitudes, one must have an eternal perspective on life. Now let me also say this before we get too far. There are some folks who say, well, this is the same teaching he did in Matthew 5, and on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says different things. Well, one thing, he could have said different things, and one recorded the other. But there are several places in the gospel where he, in fact, in Matthew alone, he talks about what I talked about in Matthew 16, some of the same principles are in Matthew 10. He taught those things twice. And you say, well, oh, the writers must have forgotten they said something about that and put it down a second time. No, he wanted you to hear it a second time. And he wanted you to hear it in a different context. These are what he said. They're principles. The Christian life is not that complex. We just have to live by faith. Do what he's asked us to do, to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We need to do what he asked us to do. Now, I think that this portion in Luke, personally, he says he's talking to his disciples. I think he's kind of giving them a little bit more insight than he did to the general crowd at the Sermon on the Mount. You can disagree, that's okay, but that's what I think. I think he's adding some things here for those who are ready to take another step. You know, it's one thing to say, don't commit adultery. It's another thing, don't lust in your heart. You know, there's a step. There's things we don't do, and the fact is, we teach our children, well, you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this. The fact is, there's things we ask them not to do or to do that they don't even understand right now. One of these days, they will. Right now, they just need to know, this is this, and that is that, and the twain shall never meet. And we are like that too. But then as we grow, we're no longer on the milk of the word. We get to be on the meat of the word and actually learn what God has done. He starts allowing us to understand his word. Real quickly, number one from last week, you have it all in there. The things of this world are overrated. He lifted up his eyes and said, blessed are you. He says, if you're, you know, it's okay. You can count yourself blessed. Count yourself fortunate even when you're poor because you've got the kingdom of God coming. So don't worry about that. Don't allow your lack of wealth of this world to get you down because eternity's coming. If you have eternity in front of you and blessings of heaven are yours forever, what are you complaining about? But letter C, what the world has is temporary. I put these down when we get to number two. This is new. But what we have in this world is temporary. The kingdom of God is, letter D, is eternal. Put it in perspective. You know, it's kind of like saying, all right, give me a real nice car that has all the bells and whistles for 6 months, or give me a very good, dependable car and give it to me for the rest of my life. You know, there's a difference in perspective. The fact is, we can enjoy the toys of this world for 70 years, maybe 80 years, maybe a little bit more these days, but eventually we're going to leave it all here. Or we can enjoy the presence of God here and roll right on into eternity and enjoy his presence all the way for eternity ever, you know, forever. And a lot of times, in fact, letter E says, those that have little in this world and are yet faithful will actually have their eternity rewards, I think, enhanced. I've often said, I think some of the most faithful servants of the Lord are the ones who have served behind the scenes or up in the hills someplace where no one knew they were a preacher, and they have faithfully served and loved people and led them to Christ. I think some of God's most faithful servants are in places where no one knows where they are. Because he knows he can trust them to keep working and keep serving, even though it looks like they missed out. Oh, but we don't know they missed out. No, if they're out there serving, they have done the will of God in their life, they have succeeded. They have been successful. To just listen, not to play the role that God has called you to play within the context of his church is to be a failure. Just do what God has called you to do. Well, I don't like this job, or I wish I had that one. I don't go back to coveting now. Huh? We start to covet. No, don't go there. And the fact is, your faithful little God will make you ruler over much, maybe. But maybe he needs you right where you are because no one else will be faithful there. And when we get up to heaven, just like Mr. Job, I think he's going to call his servants up, and they're going to be people he's going to call up and put crowns all over them, and we're going to say, who? But he's going to know all about them. Number two, new material. Put your needs in perspective. Put your needs in perspective. There are many people who have everything they need and more than they can use. However, that standing will one day be over. Look at verse 21. Blessed are ye that hunger now. If you look in your Bible, it goes right in. I got some words in the midst there. But blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. In other words, now, wait a minute. I thought he says he's never seen the righteous forsaken nor the seed begging bread. What he's saying here is you have less, maybe a little less than you need, maybe a little less than you want at this present time. Maybe you have a little less compared to everybody else right now. But he says, ye shall be filled. That word filled really means to be gardened. Isn't that weird? Gardened. In other words, there's going to be a day when you're living in a garden again. In other words, there's going to be a day when everything's going to be at reach. Everything's going to be at hand. Don't worry about the fact of not having a whole lot. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I've got a gold one that's silver lined. I've got a mansion, right? That's the whole idea. Now, if you have some things here, fine. If you don't have some things here, fine. The point is, Paul said, whatever state I am, therewith to be content, even in Pennsylvania. But he said, whatever state I'm in, therewith be content. He said, I know how to abound, I know how to be abased. Sometimes you feel like you have everything, sometimes you feel like you have nothing. But the fact is, God has still not forgotten you. When you feel like things are short, maybe he's just giving you a chance to kind of ride the bucking bronco a little bit there and have a little bit of thrill as he shows you how he can take care of you. I know servants of the Lord who are older, who have gone through all these things in their life, and they look back, and now they look back at those times and smile because in hindsight they saw God bless, they saw God provide. Saul show up just at the right time here. He saw this happen here. And it's in a wonderful way Lord provided. But if we had everything we needed, we wouldn't think about him providing. So we wouldn't have gotten blessed. Blessed are you that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Some people will have more than they can use on this side of eternity, but will have nothing good on the other side of the eternity. If you got to make a choice, I'll take the other side. We can still consider ourselves fortunate, even though we seem to lack some needs now, because this is a short time compared to eternity where we will have more than we can imagine in eternity. They say the blues are going to be bluer, the sky is going to be brighter, the colors are greater, the bird's song is sweeter. We have no idea. I wear glasses, and I remember the first time I finally got glasses, I thought, oh, look at that. And we get so used to living in a world through a veil. And we think, and all of a sudden, we see something a little brighter. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get up there where he turns on the light? He is the light. We're going to see things we never thought of. If you had your choice, would you rather have all you can imagine for 70 years or so for this life, and have all the world that all that the world can offer, or have all what heaven can imagine for eternity. Romans 8:18. For I reckon, he was from the south, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But we hope for that we see not, and do we with patience wait for it. He said, what is hope? Not one of you have seen heaven yet. But wait for it for hope, with hope. We wait for it in hope. We see it through the eyes of faith. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helping our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I put that in there. Listen, blessed are those who hunger now. Oh, but all things work together for good to those who love God are called according to his purpose. Faithful. You don't know what God is doing with you and through you, not just in your life, but in the lives of others, as they watch you live by hope and faith. Number three, he who laughs last laughs the longest. He who laughs last laughs the longest. Would you rather laugh for the world and all the things the world has to give for the short years of now, or laugh and rejoice for eternity? The verse says this, blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. So blessed, fortunate are ye that weep, wail out loud now at this present time, for ye shall laugh. You're going to have such joy in your heart, you will be smiling out loud. That's kind of the way I look at laughter. Laughter is just kind of like smiling out loud. You know? He says, you're still fortunate. So, well, I'm weeping now. I know. But you're fortunate, because the fact is, one of these days, you're going to smile so wide, you're going to laugh. Can you imagine walking in there, into the gates of pearl? They say the pearls are made of one great, that the gates are made of one huge pearl. Can you imagine the size of that oyster? And you're walking in and saying, oh, look at this. Can you imagine? And yet there's going to be folks who laughed all the way through this life with the world. And there's going to be a moment when eternity hits them in the face and the laughter is done. He says, listen, it might not be nice that you can't laugh right now, or if there's times in your life you feel like you can't laugh. But listen, if you've got the Lord, you're going to laugh for eternity. You're going to laugh for eternity. We will laugh at all the things, all the things we were worried about. We're going to laugh at all the things we tried to get. I said the other Sunday morning, guy shows up at the gates of heaven with a suitcase, and so they do a security check and find it's full of gold bricks. And he says, you got another one here with a bag full of pavement. We will see things from such a different perspective that the things we used to care so much about will seem silly. You want a good time now, laughing at what the world enjoys, or rejoicing in the eternal things of God for eternity? Much of the world thinks that artificial joy at the bottom of a bottle or at the end of a needle or at the price of some illicit joke is what life and joy is all about. But all those, in fact, those are very short-lived. Number four, I have here, choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely. Let me show you what I mean by that. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, detest you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast you out and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. He says, listen, if they see Jesus in you so much that they actually start making fun of you, you're doing well. All those who live godly shall suffer persecution. But the fact is, he said, listen, you're very fortunate. They saw Jesus in you. You know, when the disciples in the book of Acts, they were preaching, and they had gotten into a lot of trouble, and they finally got out of jail, and they went back to the rest of them. You know, they didn't pray to be released from the persecution. They thanked the Lord for having been counted worthy to suffer for Christ, and then they prayed for boldness to be able to go out and do it again. They didn't pray for deliverance, they prayed for boldness. Because, listen, if all those who live godly shall suffer persecution and you keep living godly, then you're going to get somebody on your back. Somebody's going to give you a hard time. Now, don't yell at them, because then we're not acting like Jesus. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. If your enemy thirsts, give him the drink. If he's hungry, give him something to eat. If he doesn't have any clothes, put some clothes on his back. You'll heap coals of fire upon his head. And you know what I've said that before, for those who haven't heard it. That doesn't mean you're going to make their hell hotter because I got them. No, you're going to melt them down. You're going to melt them down. Eventually you're going to say, I don't know why they do this. I don't know why they love me in spite of what I've done to them. You just keep loving them and loving them. Listen, you can the right kind of words breaks the bone. You know, the Bible says in the Proverbs, I think it is. It says that you can do amazing things just loving on people. But choose your friends wisely. He says, watch. He says, blessed are ye when men hate you. They detest you. And when they shall separate you from their company. They set you away from, they exclude you, they make you an outsider. Now, I don't know why, but I felt like the Lord kind of gave me some wisdom. I wasn't always wise, obviously, but when I was a kid, I decided if somebody's going to give me a hard time for being a Christian, well, then I don't need them around. Now, they would have come around with me and go to church with me. I'm glad to have them. But I'm not going to change anything just to have them around, because why do I need somebody around who doesn't like me in the first place? And by the way, I'm more concerned about being liked by my Savior than I am about some guy who's laughing at my Savior. Who means more to you? I mean, it's the craziest thing. Well, they think, well, that's that crazy person. That's that crazy fanatic. Well, that's okay. Well, I want to be like everybody else. Well, then you're not going to be able to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven, if you're just like everybody else. Now, don't go out and try to be a crazy lunatic Christian. You don't have to do that. But if you're just wound up and that's who you are, and you just happen to be wound up about being a Christian, well, then be who you are. It's all right. He says, they shall reproach you. They talk bad about you. They defame you. They rail at you. They chide. They taunt you. They cast your name out as evil and make you sound like you're a bad guy just because you're a Christian. That's just not unusual. Now, it has nothing to do with Christianity, but the premise is the same. I don't know if anybody watched the speech last night from President, but it's like, well, he said it, we can't like it. We can't like it. I saw a guy in the news here around dinner time before we came up here, and the guy says, he's living in a parallel universe or something. He's living in another world. None of this is going to work. And I'm thinking, well, I liked about 99% of what he said. I'm thinking, I said most of those things myself at one time or another. I mean, the guy's not, I don't know whether he's a Christian or not. I'm not here to judge him. I mean, you know, by your fruit you shall know them. So I don't know. But I tell you what the principles he's trying to do in our country, is, yes, it's directly opposed to what we've been doing for the last, well, I'm even more than 8 years, to be honest with you. But for a while, and he's throwing the brakes on this and opening up the cage over here and just kind of, you know, and the fact is, up is down and down is up, and people say, well, I don't understand, this is crazy. You know what, they do the same thing when we're talking about Christianity, what God is in our heart. And he said, you're living, I remember years ago when I sat in the first college degree, I was sitting in a psychology class in a secular college. Oh my. And they were teaching you how don't let anybody tell you what to do. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. And somehow they all kind of turned around to me and kind of like, okay, let's see what the Christian boy says. I said, well, God gives us a free will, but I choose to do what he wants us to. Well, you're letting him tell you what to do then. And they made fun of me because I'm going to let God tell me how to live my life. Well, I said, he's been living a lot longer than I am. I think he knows how to do it. Amen. When we think we've lost everything, when the world counts us off and counts us out, that's what we're talking about. Just go ahead and do right. When Jesus came, he said he brought division. Where one stands on Jesus Christ tends to be the litmus test as to where people stand on you. Where you stand on Jesus is where they're going to stand on you. Listen, Jesus is everything. What the world has is something, but it's certainly not everything. Jesus is everything, and you are only losing the world when you choose Jesus. All you're losing is the world. You have lost nothing because this world passes away and the lust thereof. There's going to be a day when we have desired something and thought it was the greatest thing in all the world, where we get to glory and we're going to think, why was that ever even a thing in my life? Why didn't I even think about that? Boy, I remember losing sleep over how I was going to get a hold of this or how I was going to be able to do this and get this money to buy this or, you know, and come up with this so I can get this position or whatever. Just, isn't that crazy? The world's going to pass away and all those things that we've desired are going to pass away. Number five, don't trust in the world's possessions. Well, I'm not going to get done again. We're going to try here. Don't trust in the world's possessions. Having what the world has is a dangerous thing. Now watch this. He has told us several things, and now he's going to give us the opposite. Here's our anti-beatitudes. As opposed to, this is what he said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. But then in verse 24, he says this, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. You've already got your good things in the world. That's what you were looking for? Well, have at it. That's what you got. So he says, blessed are the poor, because you've got the kingdom of God. And then he turns around to those folks who aren't poor. He says, you know what? Woe, man. Whoa, that means it's a sad thing to have it happen. He says, you know what? It's a sad thing to be rich. The prosperity of fools shall destroy him. Those who seek to have and covet, we talked about that, will get themselves into a lot of foolish things, hurtful things, destroy themselves. He said, look at 1 Timothy 6. I don't know if I gave it to you there, but the reference there. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich, in other words, that's their will. That's their desire in life. That's what their will is pointed at. That's what their will is focused on. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and of many, here it is, foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. He says it's a dangerous thing to have a lot of money. You can get yourself in a lot of trouble with money. I had some connections with the RU program down in Maryland when I was down there, and we've been doing it here now for 12 years. And you know what? You get somebody down, and they're flat down broke, and they'll come. And they want to get right with God, and they start doing right. And if you do right, God starts to bless. And so they start doing it, and finally get everything kind of pushed aside. They finally get a job, and they get some money. And then they decide they're going to do this or buy this car, or they're going to get a girl. And everything goes haywire until they're back down flat on the back again. They were better off poor. Proverbs 23:5 says, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." They're gone. If you're like me, there's been times where you said, you know what, I got a little extra money. That's because God knew that your transmission was going to go out next week. But you know what people do? I got a little extra money. Let's go out and blow it. And they go, and he gave them the money for the problem, but they blew it before they ever got ever the problem came. I can't tell you how many times that you say, wow, I got some money here. We got this is really nice. And there it goes. A couple times, I hate to say it, I thought, well, you know, I got a raise coming up this year. That's going to be so. About December, something happens. Well, there goes the raise. Right there it is. But he's always provided our needs. Takes care of us. We're still here. I'm not hurting any. Psalm 49:6 says, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him." You're not going to save your family and friends a lot of money. I'll prove what a great Christian, I have a lot of money, and they'll be real impressed. That's not going to save. In fact, to tell you the truth, their eyes are going to be on the money rather than eyes on the Lord. They haven't done them any good. Number 6, don't trust in the world's provisions. Number 5 said, don't trust in the world's possessions. Number 6, don't trust in the world's provisions. Watch what it said. Verse 21, it says, "Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled." Verse 25 says this, "Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger." Woe unto you that are full. I'm going to read something here for you. You can return with me if you want. Psalm 73. You recognize this passage, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. Psalm 73, that's Psalm of Asaph's. He's writing from hindsight here, but he makes a statement in the first verse, and that's what he learned, and he knows it's the truth, but he's going to take you through the process of how he learned it. Psalm 73, verse 1 says, "Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such are of a clean heart." God takes care of people. If they just do what God tells them to do, he takes care of them. He's good to us. Verse 2, then he's going to confess. "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They talk big. It makes it look like it's good." Listen, we don't always know what's going on in somebody's heart. Just because they put on a good talk, a good show. Verse 5, "They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people returned hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, well, how doth God know? Is he there? Is there knowledge of the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. This is what he thought. I got saved for nothing. I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. I got saved for nothing. I've been trying to live right and live by all the rules, and they're still doing a whole lot better than I am. For all the day long, verse 14, have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. I try to talk about it. No one even wants to hear what I have to say. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I just shot. Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? In other words, oh man, this is like, how, it's amazing how it happens. In a moment, almost like boom. In a moment, they're utterly consumed with terrors. You see, they lived there laughing. They enjoyed their riches. But their eyes were on the world. That's where their heart was. They didn't walk with God. They didn't have him as their Savior. And now it's all done. Put in perspective. Put in perspective. You think you don't need anything, and that status will never change. But you're living on the goods of this world and not on the goods of the Lord. Revelation 3:14 says, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. And you knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. But woe unto you that are full. You think you need nothing. There's going to be a day you're going to hunger for something you just never imagined. Number 7, don't trust in the world's pleasures. Don't trust in the world's pleasures. The verse we read earlier was, blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. He says now, in verse 25, the second half, woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you that laugh now, to laugh with a satisfaction. That's kind of the idea. With a satisfaction if you have the world on a string, because you're going to be grieving. You're going to be sobbing out loud because you sold your soul for the world's goods. Proverbs 1:22 says this, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, but ye have said it naught, all my counsel, with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Psalm 2 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Psalm 37, a wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. We live in the pleasures and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And he says, one day you won't be laughing. And that's a terrible thing. And that's why we give the gospel out. Number 8, don't trust in the world's promotions. Don't trust in the world's and this world's promotions. It said in verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate from your company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. And verse 26 says, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. That's where we are in seeker-sensitive churches. We want everybody to speak well of us. I don't like anybody to hate me. I really don't. I want everybody to like me. I really do. But I hate to say it, I want you to like me when we get to the other side. I want you to say, you know what, I didn't like you very much on the other side, but you know what, I found out you were my best friend. Because you told me the truth. And if no one else likes me, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and I'll take him. That's what I want. John 15, 18 says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Whoa! What a sad thing to think of when all men speak well of you. If you live the truth, listen, if you let your light so shine, there are people who are walking in the darkness who don't want to walk in the light. We have so much going on in the church these next couple days and this and that other thing, be honest with you, there was something in particular about, I have to do was on my mind. 4 o'clock I woke up this morning. I never wake up at 4 o'clock. No, Miss Olga, she wakes up at 4 o'clock. But I never wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. But I was wide awake. So I said, well, might as well get up. I was in here by about 6:30 this morning. That's unusual for me. But I went into the restroom. I went into the bathroom. I turned on the light. It hurt. You ever been in the dark and you turn the light? It actually hurts. Turn the light off. Turn that thing off. You're hurting me. And that's what happens when you turn your light on. You know, the light wasn't a bad light. It was good light. Did exactly what it was supposed to do. It was my reception of the light. So listen, so if you're walking in the light, there's going to be some people. Dr. Hiles used to say, after they got finished, they'd gone through, you know, Chicago and East Chicago and Gary, Indiana and Hammond and all these, you know, just all these places. They said by the time he had been there all those years, so you knock on a door, you're either duck or pucker. You tell them you're from First Baptist Church of Hammond, either they were going to kiss you on the lips or they were going to smack you on the lips. Just the way it's going to be. It's the same thing. The same sun that melts butter hardens bricks. Same sun, same light, same heat, different reception. Almost done. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it's the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. There are I mean, what do you want to call them? Fundamentalist survival websites. Now, I know not all churches, you know, churches have problems and this and that and the other thing. But there are people out there who've actually started up websites as a support group for those who have survived being part of an independent fundamental Baptist church. Now, I understand there's, you know, there's different men in different churches. Every church has a personality and all those kind of things. But they want to fight things like they think the Bible is the inspired word of God and it's inerrant. Well, I don't like this part, and I don't like this part. It can't be inerrant because that's got to be wrong. And all you're doing is loving them. Probably a lot of folks in this room have tried their best to give the gospel to somebody they love and have been rebuffed. Maybe nicely, but they just kind of shut down. I say, so I don't do it anymore. No, let's just let your light shine, first of all. As the opportunity is there, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It becomes just part of who you are. Not that you all of a sudden get in the preaching mood, you're going to tell them how to get out of hell. You don't need to get in the preaching mood. You just need to be what God meant you to be. And it just comes out and said, you know what? I just bought a new Hyundai car. You know, I'm really having, you know, it's not my Chrysler. It's not big, but you know, I like it. It's got all the bells and whistles. In fact, it's got more bells and whistles than my Chrysler did. And it gets 10 miles a gallon better than my Chrysler consistently. It's good. I like it. It doesn't go woo, you know, when you push on it. It goes but it fast. It goes just as fast. Can't go any faster than that anyway because you got these daggone speed limits, you know. But I like it. I said, why can't we talk about living for Christ like that? Best thing ever happened to me. Can't beat the deal. I was headed to hell. And rightly so. But he loved me so much, he gave his only begotten son to die on the cross to pay for my sins. If I just simply trust him, he'd let me go to heaven. And you know what? Let me show you a verse. It says, whosoever. You can put your name right there. Whosoever. And you're going to have it. Live in the eternal perspective. Don't worry about what everybody else says, what everybody else has got, what everybody else is doing. Kind of goes right along with that coveting thing, doesn't it? God says, I'll take care of you. Don't worry about all that stuff. I'll give you exactly what you need when you need it. In fact, you might be surprised when we get to the other side that I did you a big favor. Did you a big favor. Let's pray. Father, give me thank you for speaking to our hearts here this evening. And Lord, I don't want any woes. I want the blesseds. So Lord, I pray that our folks will seek the blesseds. Just keep their eyes on you and let you live through them, through us, to do what you've called us to do. Just let folks see our light shining and just be content wherever, whatever state we're in. Lord, you take care of us. You take good care of us. And even if we don't have much on this side, we get to have everything on the other side. And the other side, and that's not a cop-out. That's real. In fact, it means more. We're going to be more alive that day than we are here. Our bodies are dying. Over there, they won't be. We get 70, 80 years, 90 maybe here, and over there we have eternity in the splendor, the glory. Lord, help us just keep ourselves in perspective. Lord, speak to our hearts. Thank you for what you're doing. In Christ's name, amen. Let's just sing 316. You know it. I have decided to follow Jesus. Stand up with me. The altar is open. The Lord's spoken to your heart. Would you